This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And with us in the studio today are Bill Davidson, Santino Timpano, and Aldo Dinelli from SKT Helicopters. Good morning, gentlemen.
How you guys doing?
Good. Doing fine. Hi, this is Santino.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Bill Davidson. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Here is Aldo Dinelli from SKT Helicopters, Switzerland.
Well, we're looking at
a nice little three-blade helicopter.
Yeah, and
The first question I'm going to go is three blades versus two. Why did you do that?
Because the stability. The three blades helicopter usually is more stable than two blades, and makes the mast shorter. And this way, it's possible to minimize the mast bumping phenomena. And the main rotor disc is smaller, so the helicopter is possible to land in a confined area much better than the two blades because it's bigger.
Okay.
What kind of engine are you using to power this helicopter?
We use a MW engine. It's an aeronautical engine, 4 flat cylinder, 2.5 liters displacement, and fuel injection, water cooled. This engine running at 4,430 RPM. We have a reduction gearbox, and we go in the main transmission straight away without any belt, without any pulley, without any clutch. So we save weight. We don't have critical components, and we get more power because with a belt we lose a little bit. Well, at least 10 horsepower with a belt.
Like, now, we read in your brochure that one of your design goals was to eliminate the problem areas that have plagued other classic helicopter designs.
Well, the design, first of all, was made in a wind tunnel. In this way, it's possible to make a nice shape, of course, and the shape is very good for the aerodynamics. And after that, we did a lot of studies to improve and to keep the helicopter very safety, very economic, and to reduce the workload of the pilot and the cost for maintenance and for inspection.
On that note, the safety note, are you guys using weighted blades to increase the ability to auto-rotate?
We work with a weighting blades, but basically we twist the blades because they come out from a stamp, so every blade is exactly the same of the other one. So we don't twist the blades manually. We don't need a trim tab. We are flying without tracking because the blades are perfectly the same weight and same shape. Well, it's too long to explain how the auto rotation works, but the weight is not the only thing that we have to think about the auto rotation. If we have a good twist, a part of main rotor disc can auto rotate, and the other one can make the drag to keep the main rotor RPM in a good level to perform the auto rotation and to reduce the workload of the pilot on the collective.
Okay, you said the blades are stamped, so they're all metal blades, or are they composite?
No, the metal blades are the past, are all composite. Well, to be precise, are made by glass fiber, and there is a special procedures, and usually they works with a centrifugal force around 4,500 kilos. But they will be tested at more than 25,000 kilos. So we have a lot of margin of safety.
Right.
That's a pretty beefy rotor blade. You're using composites in other areas on the helicopter too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I want to precise that we have the frame is made by metal. So it's a classic choice. The composite is used for the body, for the cockpit, but the only structural part where we use composite is the tailbone. Telbum is very, very strong. And we design a bearing-free tailboom. So we don't have to make any special. We don't have any maintenance. Inside the tailboom, we have one shaft made by carbon fiber. It's 11 centimeters of diameter. And it doesn't need any special because it's just one part from the tail rotor to the frame. So you don't have to expect nothing.
Right, so the only bearings you have are at each end.
Absolutely, yeah. No grease, nothing. You just perform every 100 hours. You take it out in 5 minutes. You check visually, and you put on again.
There is one other point that maybe Santino didn't mention, but the actual frame itself is tubular frame, but it's been pressurized. And for the reasons that is that if, in fact, there's a failure of some kind, bad landing, we can immediately isolate the area that's been compromised.
Okay, you don't have like a sensor that tells you you've lost pressurization.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
And we're also going to have in the landing gear, which makes this a huge safety factor. Because there are a lot of helicopters that make bad landings, and of course there's some damage there. How do you detect it? Well, now we can do that very effectively.
So, yeah, as soon as you get the sensor that says, oh, we've lost frame pressure, which that's going to be confusing for some pilots that have never seen that one. But then you go look for like a, will there be oil or something that's going to leak out and mark it?
Yeah, there'll be a marker. But the actual pressurized gauge is right there in the pilot's face. So you can't miss it. And that's certainly going to be one of the checks. This is a huge safety factor. You know, this speaks volumes about the kind of the research and the developments taking place in this particular machine. That's only part of it. There's many other things. And as you ask the questions, we'll cover each point.
Okay. Gearbox, the main gearbox. There's been a lot of small helicopters that have had problems with gearboxes not staying together. How did you attack that?
Well, about the gearbox, it's very easy. We choose, first of all, the gearbox is made in north of Italy. We have a lot of factories. They work for the Augusta factory. So they know very well how they have to make the gearbox. So the gearbox is not a problem at all because we have the best materials, the best project, and the size is a little bit oversized for that kind of helicopter, for that kind of input power. And at the end, there is a kind of treatment that reduces the friction, so reduce the temperature of oil, and makes the life of the gearbox longer. So this is not a problem at all.
Okay, let's talk about how it flies. I mean, that's what the next thing pilots are going to want to know.
Let me just say this. I went to Italy about a month ago. I hadn't flown helicopters for 23 years. I got a license 39 years ago. I went and flew with Santino, and I was shocked. Prior to that, I flew another helicopter. I'm not going to name any names, but there was a distinct difference between the two of them. I felt far more comfortable with this machine. And it was just a number of hours that, you know, I felt extremely comfortable and knew I could fly it without any hesitation and quite safely. So, yes, I think it's an ideal training machine. And I think it's designed for the low-time pilot. And we know you can make some mistakes and still recover and not kill yourself.
Well, I like that idea.
I'm assuming then that you have no hydraulically boosted controls on this. It's all cables and levers.
Well, we have a news, mechanical news. We don't have any mixed unit for the controls. So we don't have hydraulic tools. We don't have nothing. We use three cables. It's not correct to say cables because our special mechanic equipment made under our specification. They move usually on the swashplates almost 30 pounds, so 10 pounds each, but they were tested for 2,400 pounds pull each and 600 pounds push. So the safety factor is huge. And it is the same thing for the tail rotor. We move with one cable, so we don't have to make any inspection. The cable is on condition. So for the controls is smooth and very precise. So we decide to use this system and don't install any rows, other things.
Looking at your spec sheet, I see that you have a 10,000 foot high service ceiling on this helicopter. There are some areas here in the United States that are above 9,000 feet. Are you guys going to do any turbocharging or anything with the engine for people buying them in hot and high areas?
Yes, we planning to install a turbocharger, and that is possible to retrofit. So even if somebody buy the helicopter like the natural aspirated engine, he can install the turbocharger without work too much. But I'm an instructor pilot, and sometimes there is a lot of confusion because a lot of people think that with the helicopter it's possible to perform landing in the very high mountain and in a very difficult environment. But let me tell you, in Switzerland, that is very, very, the environment is, it's all mountain. There is mandatory the mountain rating. So the pilots can land without mountain rating below 1,300 meters. Over 1,500 meters, the insurance don't pay. But you know, for the beginner pilots, the mountain flight is no easy. It's no easy. But the machine can work up to 10,000 feet. But the pilot must be very, 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 very smart.
Yeah, he's got to be careful for sure.
Yeah,
thinking.
Of course.
May I just intercede you for a second? Stefano is being very modest here. Actually, he's phoned rescue helicopters in all the Great Lakes in Italy, Northern Lakes, and in the Alps. He's a rescue helicopter and pilot as well. Been through some really interesting situations. So he speaks with a lot of experience. And when he talks about high altitude out of ratified cover, generally speaking, helicopters are not designed to go up that way. And if you do, you're really taking your life in your hands, as he said, unless you really understand what you're doing. This is a great machine to go from point A to point B, and most people don't fly at those altitudes. So, yeah, it can be done with retrofit. It'll be perfect. But, you know, good training is always extremely important.
Will this machine be offered as a kit, or is this a finished machine?
Well, we originally thought it would be a finished machine, but to really offset all the certification process and so forth, we've now decided that we will sell it as a kit, a complete kit, but we'll have some restrictions. You know, the dealer will have to really certify that the kit has been properly finished. And at the same time, the person who buys it and will have to at least have a couple of hours, we're thinking 5 hours of good training to make sure they fully understand the complexity of the machine.
Yeah, there is another manufacturer that will not give you your tail rotor gearbox until you can prove you've had helicopter flight training.
And I think that's a sagacious move on their part, and we're certainly following the same procedures.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Indeed.
Yeah, we've heard too many stories of people getting a helicopter and they have absolutely no clue of how to fly it, and it usually doesn't end well for pilot or helicopter.
Well, having said that, we had a fellow at the booth just recently who wanted to buy it, and he felt that he could teach himself. Well, you know where that went.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It ended right there.
Right. You just triple the price or something and say, no, thank you, we're not interested.
That's right. You know, we carry insurance, product liability for a purpose, but we don't carry it for, you know, inconsiderate and foolish moves. And certainly that would be one.
Yeah. Right. That would definitely be a dumb move on a pilot's part. Training will always be a good thing to get, always.
And that's something we're really going to emphasize. Even though these people build their kits, we'd still like to, you know, if they haven't flown in 3 months, we'd like them to call us. And we'll then send out a qualified pilot to go and fly with them for at least an hour, make sure they are safe. I think that's paramount. I had a flight school for 18 years. And I could tell you, you know, if I hadn't flown for 30 days, even though I have a lot of flight time, I'd still have somebody beside me to make sure I wasn't making any mistakes. We're all human beings. And even high-time pilots, by the way, make mistakes. But that's why the military and the airlines train consistently. It's all the time.
How many of these machines are flying?
Well, we flying this is the second prototype.
Okay.
So the first one we flew 150 hours at least, and after that we dismounted the machine. We did a destructional test. This one flew for 140 hours at least, but we have in the factory ground test bench where we check the main transmission, the main rotor hub, the blades, the tail rotor shaft. So we can say 800 hours of total test and flight. So I think is a good good quantity of
yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
I would like to say one other thing. This helicopter is a precursor to actually getting the turbine. We have a pre-rotor system which actually rotates the blades to, what is it, 72?
Yeah, between 72 and 80 RPM of the main rotor blades. And this happened automatically. So the workload for the pilot is very, very, very low. Because in my experience as a flight instructor, sometimes my students make damages on the helicopter just when they start up the helicopter, because they make some mistake to engage the clutch, they make some damage to the belts, because maybe the engine RPM was too high and then the belts start to burn. And they are very, very tired after the startup, because for some of them at the beginning, the startup is a big workload. In our case, the startup is extremely easy. Just we push one switch for 1 second, and after that, we have to leave it, and the helicopter do everything alone. So we have just to watch what's happened, and just in case switch off, but it doesn't happen. So after we reach 75 RPM with the main rotor, this is the pre-rotation. The pre-rotation is over, and the piston engine start automatically. And we go automatically to the minimum flight for the warm-up. And after that, we can go to 100% and switch on the governor. And we are ready for takeoff. So the workload is very, very low, even when we shoot down the engine. Three switch off, and the shoot down engine is performant.
So you are really designing this thing for the low time / zero time helicopter pilot?
Absolutely, yeah, because usually, as I told before, it's very difficult to manage the startup and shoot down the engine. It's possible to make a lot of damages, and this happened. I have a lot of experience of flight instructor, and I saw everything. Sometimes I saw people that they didn't perform the shoot down engine complete, and some equipment still running. In this case, you switch off three engine and everything is over.
Well, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. It sounds like you got a very interesting machine there. And is there a website where we can find out more?
Yeah, there is a website. It's under construction right now. And as you've just said, it is very interesting. We're excited. We've had a tremendous response at our booth. We've had tremendous amount of people attending, and we're going to start allocating different areas in the United States and Canada as dealers, and we see a great success for this particular machine.
Well, very good.
Sounds like a blast. I'm Fast Eddie. You've been listening to Bill Davidson, Santino Timpano, Aldo Dinelli of SKT Helicopters.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.